Welcome.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with some words of wisdom that will liven up our day. A friend sent me those, but they're actually from the book Zen Judaism by David M. Bader. If there is no self, whose arthritis is this? Be here now. Be someplace else later. Is that so complicated? Drink tea and nourish life. With the first sip, joy. With the second sip, satisfaction. With the third sip, peace. With the fourth sip, a Danish. Wherever you go, there you are. Your luggage, that's another story. Accept misfortune as a blessing. Do not wish for perfect health or life without problems. What would you talk about? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single oi. There is no escaping karma. In the previous life, you never called, you never wrote, you never visited. And whose fault was that? Zen is not easy. It takes effort to attain nothingness. And then, what have you got? Bupkis. The Tao does not speak. The Tao does not blame. The Tao does not take sides. The Tao has no expectations. The Tao demands nothing of others. The Tao is not Jewish. Editor's note. Nor Catholic, nor pagan, nor Muslim, nor human. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Forget this, and attaining enlightenment will be the least of your problems. Let your mind be as a floating cloud. Let your stillness be as a wooded glen. And sit up straight. You'll never meet the Buddha with such rounded shoulders. Deep inside, you are 10,000 flowers. Each flower blossoms 10,000 times. Each blossom has 10,000 petals. You might want to see a specialist. And finally, be aware of your body. Be aware of your perceptions. Keep in mind that not every physical sensation is a symptom of a terminal illness. Now, here's another little bit that I ran across. This was in the newspaper, but it was originally in the Mayo Clinic. Cough control. Mayo Clinic teaches several techniques to manage the urge to cough. Try to do these things. Breathe from your diaphragm. Lie down and breathe naturally, watching as your abdomen expands on the inhale and falls on the exhale. Breathe in through your nose and try pursing your lips as you breathe out. Focusing on your breathing this way may lessen the feeling that you need to cough. Swallow. Swallowing may help by squeezing the voice box tissues, giving them a gentle massage, and relaxing your throat muscles. As soon as you sense the urge to cough, try swallowing with or without water. Do not cough after you swallow. The more you practice this, the easier it gets. And this retrains your brain not to cough. A hard swallow. Observe as your Adam's apple, which is part of the voice box, moves up and forward as you swallow. Flex your throat muscles at the top of your swallow to give your voice box an extra massage. Hum or whistle. A gentle humming or whistling, which moves your vocal cords quickly without irritating them, may reduce the urge to cough. Silently clear your throat. Aggressively clearing your throat can irritate your vocal cords and make coughing worse. Instead, try to make a huh, huh, huh sound so softly that someone next to you might not even hear it. Do an H cough. If you feel that you must clear your throat because of mucus, Try exaggerating a breathy H sound with lots of air. This will help you get rid of mucus while limiting vocal cord irritation. Finally, sip something warm. Sipping on warm water, with or without a squeeze of lemon and a drop of honey, can also soothe your throat. And also, just honey by itself works. Now, moving on to another article about healthy you. This is in AARP, the magazine. Green power. Make your taste buds and your cardiologist happier. Simple carbs such as white rice and potatoes lack the fiber, protein, vitamins, and minerals of more complex grains, notes Emma Newell, a registered dietitian at NourishRx. Why not choose side dishes that are not only more interesting, but can also lower cholesterol, stabilize blood sugar, improve gut health, and boost energy levels, among many other benefits? The alternative isn't just brown rice. We asked Chef Franklin Becker of the Press Club Grill in New York City for some suggestions on high-fiber, carb side dishes that will delight our taste buds while keeping our bodily symptoms humming along. So here we have barley. Subtly sweet and chewy, this rice-like grain holds up well in fresh or cooked dishes. Carbs, 22 grams, fiber, 3 grams, protein, 2 grams. It's best in salads, Korean dishes, or paired with cooked mushrooms and bitter greens such as escarole. A flavor boost, you can toss it with thyme or other fresh herbs before serving. Spelt. This ancient grain has a nutty and slightly sweet flavor, similar to whole wheat. Carbs, 26 grams. Fiber, 4 grams, protein, 5. Best in pilafs with mushrooms and onions or bread. And a note here, all of this, this nutrition information is for one serving. Then we have farro. With a nice chew, this ancient grain is texturally pleasing and has a strong cashew flavor with hints of cinnamon. Carbs, 26 grams, fiber, 3.5, and protein, 4. It's best used in pilafs, salads, steamed with kale and squash, or cooked in risotto style with parmesan. Bulgur, often used in Middle Eastern cooking, especially Turkish cuisine, it has a popcorn-like scent when cooked. Carbs, 17 grams, fiber, 4, and protein, 3. It's best in pilafs with fresh herbs or onions and garlic, or subbed for rice in soups. And for a flavor boost, you can add aromatics like ginger, garlic, or scallions while cooking. And finally, we have quinoa. For a flavor boost with it, you should mix the grains to create new tastes. Quinoa, unlike most grains, quinoa is a complex protein, meaning it contains all the essential proteins needed for building muscle. It's also gluten-free. Rinse before cooking to remove the bitter outer germ. Carbs, 20 grams, fiber, 3, protein, 4. Best used in salads, stir-fries, and pilafs with fresh herbs, shallots, and garlic. Now, still in AARP, the magazine, let's look at a long-term care headache. This is under Money Saver. And Jean Chatsky to the rescue. What can you do when you're hit with a steep rise in your annual premium? The problem. 13 years ago, retiree Terry Copeland, 69, a woodworking and radio control airplane hobbyist in the Los Angeles area, bought long-term care insurance for himself and his wife, Claire, 64. The policy had an inflation-protected benefit, currently $270 a day, for an unlimited time. Last May, however, the Copelands learned their annual premium would triple in 2024 to $14,315. The insurer gave them options if they chose not to pay up, such as losing their inflation protection or canceling their policy in return for a partial refund of past premiums. Terry doesn't like any of the choices. The advice. Terry's letter was one of several I received from readers with a similar complaint. After years of paying annual premiums on long-term care, LTC, insurance policies that are meant to cover many of the costs of late life in-home or nursing home care, they had suddenly been hit with big rate increases, along with a menu of alternatives if they couldn't or wouldn't pay the higher amount. This has happened because insurers that have sold LTC policies have been getting the math wrong. They've overestimated the number of people who would drop their policies. They underestimated how long people would live. They faced unexpectedly low interest rates that reduced returns on the investments intended to cover claims. As a result, insurers are going to state regulators, who largely oversee the insurance industry, saying they won't be able to pay claims unless they raise rates, and state regulators are granting permission. So, if you get the same sort of letter that the Copelands got, what do? You can, like Copeland, complain to the insurance company. Instead of satisfaction, that got him a response reminding him that when he bought his policy in 2009, he received and acknowledged several statements along the lines of, premiums are subject to change. You can also hope that someone has filed a class action suit related to your particular policy, in which case a lawyer likely will get in touch with you and fight for a better deal. Unfortunately, rate increases alone don't appear to be a strong basis for lawsuits. Here's how to work through your other options. 1. If it's a manageable increase, consider paying it. A 2014 analysis done by Mark Cohen, a professor of gerontology at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, found that 22 years of average LTC premiums cost the same as a five-month stay in a nursing home. It's important, however, to carefully check correspondence from your insurer to see whether your state has already granted future rate increases. You'll have to decide whether you can afford them, too. 2. If you can't manage the increase, study your insurer's options for premium-reducing concessions. Cohen suggests reducing the number of years you have benefits. Another analysis he did showed that in a large majority of cases, people died or went off claim before using all of their benefits. Parentheses, a 2017 RAND study estimated that older adults who spent any time in a nursing home stayed just under 8 months on average. For 90% of those studied, the total was less than 3 years. End of parentheses. Another option is to reduce your daily benefit. Bonnie Burns, a consumer advocate who had counseled hundreds of people through rate increases, advises cutting daily benefits, years of coverage, or both instead of giving up any inflation protection rider, especially for people in their 60s or early 70s. Their benefit can still grow because they have time, she says. 3. If you are married, think about who is more likely to need paid care. Does one of you, for example, have a family history of Parkinson's or Alzheimer's disease? All other things being equal, keep in mind that a wife will likely live longer than her husband of the same age, spending her latest years alone. Cohen's wife has 5 years of coverage. He has 3. 4. If none of these work, you can either convert the premiums already paid into a smaller pay-up policy, or take a cash buyout if one is offered. That paid-up benefit is a consumer protection, a serious one, Burns said, partly because you may not be able to qualify for a replacement policy. On the other hand, if you bought a policy at age 50 and now you're 60, you may be young and healthy enough to find a new policy, Burns says. Taking the cash might be a good decision. The outcome? Unfortunately, I could work no miracles for Copeland, who decided to take the cash. His reasoning was that he bought the policy to protect against a worst-case LTC cost scenario, say, expenses totaling $500,000. On the other hand, he explained, he and his wife luckily have enough money that if they had caregiving costs in the neighborhood of $61,607, the amount of the policy benefit they could retain without paying more premiums, they could cover that expense comfortably with cash on hand. So, instead of the benefit, he would rather have the cash, which he plans to set aside for caregiving and add to over time. And he's contacted his state insurance department to complain about what he considers an unfair deal. Now, let's look at an article on Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren heads west. We won't have time for the whole article today, but let's read a bit of it. The iconic British actor finds her inner dame in the wide open spaces of Montana, driving a buggy, ignoring her phone, and appreciating the craftsmanship of a nicely sewn shirt. It's the tail end of a sun-sparkled afternoon in Butte, Montana. And here I am in the windowless basement bar with, if you'll excuse the expression, this dame I met a few minutes before. I was standing on the street outside the Miner's Hotel, minding my own, when she pulled up in her car, looking a bit tiny behind the wheel. Then she whipped into this swift, effortless U-turn, settling without a hitch, nice and tight, to the sidewalk. Oddly impressive. She pretty much jumped out of the car, and she seemed just a shade invigorated. "It's extraordinary," she would tell me later. "There's no traffic. You can do a U-turn here in the middle of the road." This dame, her name is Helen Mirren. We shook hands right there on the street. The dame walks into a speakeasy. Next, we were in a lobby in a hotel basement. Dame Helen dialed 5 on the rotary phone on the wall, and presto, a hidden door slid back, allowing us entrance to the bar. It's set up like a speakeasy in what used to be the city's fur vault, where the women of Butte once stored their minks, back when furs were worth something, Dame Helen says. This is the hour before evening gathers. The joint is predictably dead empty, and the music a dim country riff. We sit by the fire, which is really this sort of newfangled electronic deal. Not a fire at all. Not even all that warm. I give her my coat, and she puts it over her knees. She orders a Bloody Mary. Then Helen Mirren, 77, famous actor, London-born daughter of Russian and Scottish parents, tells of how she ended up in the American West. Well, it starts with a trip as a young actor in 1968. I was in San Francisco with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and our next gig was in Detroit 4 days later. So a handful of us took the train. The train went through slowly. It didn't whiz through. That gave me a view and a vision of America, which I had never seen. The train would stop in the middle of a town with no train station or anything. I remember stopping in Cheyenne, getting off the train, going into a bar, and having a drink with a couple of cowboys, then getting back on the train again. So at least a couple of cowboys can back me up when I say she is fun to have a drink with. Jolly and engaged, brassy at times, but ever gentle. She looks you dead in the eyes and really listens. She laughs when she feels like it, louder than you would expect. You feel like you know her and learn mostly that you want to know her better. No surprise there, I suppose. Classic dame. In fact, she's the dame, Helen Mirren, DBE, Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire, a title bestowed upon her by the late Queen Elizabeth II, whom Mirren has portrayed on stage and screen. the dame as an action figure. These days, despite her established status as a serious dramatic actor, she has a Hollywood superhero movie in the can, playing the villain Hespera in the upcoming film Shazam, Fury of the Gods, a role that comes with an action figure to be sold in stores. "Have you seen it?" she exclaims when I mention the Hespera doll. Sadly not, and neither has she, not yet. She's in Butte now for work, a streaming TV series called 1923, premiering in December on Paramount Plus, in which she co-stars with Harrison Ford. It's a second prequel to the popular hit Yellowstone, which stars Kevin Costner as Montana ranch owner John Dutton. Dame Helen, who plays Kara Dutton, his ancestor, gladly joined the endeavor. I grew up watching Wagon Train on my neighbor's television, but one thing that was always annoyed me about Westerns is that the people were all simply American. There were no immigrants. She raises a finger and spins it in the air in front of us. She's done her research. Here in Butte, people came from Cornwall, from Wales, many came from Ireland, from Montenegro, from all sorts of European mining areas. You can imagine the cacophony of accents that you must have had. So I thought it would be good if Kara were an immigrant. I'm playing her with an Irish accent, working on the theory that Kara never really lost that accent when she got here, which feels a bit like me. I've had an accent coming to America, and I have never lost it. The dame rides, or rather drives, again. One thing Dame Helen has lost is her riding ability. I've been on the back of a horse many, many times in my life, but when I signed on to 1923, I told them, "I don't ride now," but she allows this. I'm a pretty good buggy driver, however. Buggy driving is a skill she learned in her first weeks in Butte, working with 1923's horse wrangler, movie veteran Diane Brannigan, who got a great sense of how Dame Helen works. She's a sponge, a total sponge, and just a delight. She really pays attention to what you say and then applies it very much the way you say it. When you're driving a horse, you have to be ahead in thinking about what it is you want them to do. She is really good at being able to know 50 feet out what she wants to do and have the horse do that. What helps is that she has so much feel. She just gets it. So we'll stop here for today, but we will continue with this at another time. Now for the rest of our time today, we're going to go to AARP, the Bulletin. And this particular cover story, which was the AARP Guide to Modern Problems and Their Solutions. We're to the money section. Credit card hell. I was late one time on my credit card bill, and the interest and late charge was $100. Most issuers will waive an occasional late fee and possibly the interest associated with paying late, especially if you're a good customer. It's usually as simple as calling and asking nicely. You can offer a brief, truthful explanation and offer to set up automatic payments so this doesn't happen again. In fact, according to a 2020 bank rate poll, 82% of credit card holders who ask for a late fee waiver got at least some of the charges erased. That was from Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst, Bankrate.com. Taxman troubles. Suddenly, my property taxes are $150 a month more than they were. Either your property's assessed value has increased, perhaps due to the recent run-up in home prices, or the tax rate in your area has gone up. In the first case, you can appeal the value increase with your local assessor's office. Some put a time limit on appealing, so check that first. There will be a form to fill out and a hearing. If there is a mistake on your property record, such as an incorrect number of rooms, or you can prove the assessed value is not supported by sales of homes like yours, you can get your value lowered. If your tax rate has increased, find out whether your state provides tax abatements or exemptions for older residents. Many do. That advice was from Larry Clark, Director of Strategic Initiatives, International Association of Assessing Officers, Kansas City, Missouri. Paying for what? My hotel bill had all these extra fees they never mentioned when I booked the room online. The most common is a resort fee, also called a destination fee, amenities fee, or resort charge. Each hotel determines what that covers, perhaps a pool, gym, or Wi-Fi. If you learn about the extra fee when checking in, pull up a screenshot or email of your booking showing the lower advertised total and request that the fee be canceled. If you don't do that, and during your stay you don't use the amenities, politely ask at checkout to have it removed. They might agree. And that was from Palo Civic CEO, Smarter Travel, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And finally for today, launch already, kids. I want to get my 20-something kids off my health and car insurance and family phone plans, but not estrange them. First, inform your children of your intent. Let them know that you need them to take responsibility for their own expenses now that they're adults. Step two is to create a specific plan with your kids to reduce your support over a specific time frame that you both agree on, ideally 3 to 12 months. Step three, give them the tools they need to make smart financial decisions. Teach them how to shop for the best value on health insurance, car insurance, and cell phone service. And this advice was from Amy Fontanelli, longtime personal finance journalist. Now for a quick item on saving costs to, for energy costs, cover your windows. Homes lose about 30% of their heating energy through windows in the winter, and 76% of sunlight that falls on double-pane windows becomes heat in the summer. Consider blackout curtains. And upgrade to LED lighting. You can cut the amount of energy used by your light bulbs by up to 90% by switching to light-emitting diodes, LEDs, from traditional incandescent bulbs. LEDs also last 25 times longer, meaning you won't spend as much on new light bulbs over time. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.